that you have the thanks of the court for your fine service on behalf of your client. Case is taken under advisement. All right, the next case of the morning is United States versus Singleton, case number 091710. Mr. Gutierrez, you're on.
May it please the court, Your Honors. Judge, this is a case where my client tried to withdraw his guilty plea, and the court denied it, stating that he hadn't met its burden. We respectfully disagree, claiming that, indeed, his counsel had failed to prepare him adequately for the plea. Specifically, counsel, we're saying that he was not made aware of certain facts that were on the videotape of the specific arrest. This was a case where there was a canine that was brought in, and the canine purportedly alerted the police to the contraband that was in the car. The attorney, Ms. Gates, for the defendant, states in one of the memos to the defendant that she was not able to properly view the tape, that there were parts of the tape that were corrupted, and that she was not able to see certain aspects of it or hear certain aspects of the tape. When this was brought up to the attention of the court apparently seemed to be taking judicial notice of the affidavit submitted by Ms. Gates, which said, in fact, that she had viewed the tape. We submit, Your Honors, that this tape was corrupted, that this was a tape that didn't show that, in fact, had she watched the tape, had she viewed the tape beforehand, she would have noticed that the dog was alerted, or strike that, was prompted to the car door, which really, if you think about it, this is a drug-sniffing dog. There were no drugs found in the car.
Contaminated money, if I recall correctly.
That's right. They found over $300,000 in money.
And the money was tainted with the drug odor.
Well, there's no evidence that any money is tainted with drug, Judge.
Well, there's an awful lot of evidence that money could be tainted with drugs.
There's evidence that money could be tainted with drug, but there's no evidence that these particular dogs were the types of dogs that can sniff out the money that's tainted.
They can sniff drugs on almost anything.
No.
Can't they?
The evidence was that the drugs dogs independently were alerted to the
money.
The contraband, to the money, correct.
What does that mean, independently alerted to?
Well, as opposed to being prompted to the car door, Judge. I mean, if there's a difference between bringing a dog to a sniffing area, and then the dog independently jumps up and starts,
saying. They booted the dog into the car, or what?
Well, there's a secret command, Judge, a whistle, if you will, or a prompt.
And that tells them that this is it, kid.
This is our argument. But the main thrust of our argument, though, is that had counsel been presented with this type of corrupted evidence, she should have easily just said, hey, guys, can I get a better tape? And certainly the FBI
lab. But the court found that it was utterly inculpatory anyway. And so let's even presume she didn't, and the district judge found that she did view it, and he credited that. But let's assume she didn't. What would it have mattered if the tape is completely corroborative of what the police officer said?
Well, that's just it, Judge. We don't believe that in and of itself the tape was completely corroborative of what the police said. The police said that the dog independently alerted them to contraband inside of the vehicle. If you notice and pay close attention to the tape, we're saying that the dog was prompted to scratch at the side door of the vehicle. And that is further corroborated by the fact that there were no drugs in the car. With all due respect to Judge Bauer, these drugs were there to sniff out.
The dog was prompted by who to do this?
Well, by the handlers.
Well, why would they choose the side of the door?
Well, because that's where the dog went around the car. The dog went around the car once. It didn't find any drugs. And then when it got to the door, we're claiming that there was a command of some kind. We don't know what the command is. It's not our dog. But we're saying that the dog was prompted onto the car door, as opposed to independently the dog saying, ah, there must be drug money in the side of the
car. And you think that this would have made a difference to Judge Dara's suppression order?
I think it would have. Certainly.
I thought the tape was played in court. If it was so obvious, somebody would have noticed it, right?
The tape was played in court, Judge. But the tape wasn't the tape that that Ms. Gates had. So if Ms. Gates had had it, and this is an adversarial system, if Ms. Gates had had the tape that she could have, like, listened carefully to it ahead of time, then she would have noticed it. When it's been played out in a sequence where the sequence is being dictated by the person putting on the tape, they're not going to dwell on the fact that the dog wasn't prompted. I mean, it's a subtle prompt. It's not like there's a sign that comes down and says, okay, we are prompting the dog right now to jump and scratch on the car door. So what I'm saying is, in an adversarial system, and this is the difference, Judge, in an adversarial system, if you have the evidence, if you're able to see and you're watching it, then it's up to you, the adversary, to say, aha, this dog that's there to sniff out drugs has spotted a cache of money? Well, how? Well, let's look at it. If you can inspect the tape that has what it's supposed to have on there, and not later on say, oh, yeah, I watched the tape. Well, we're not talking about watching the tape. We're talking about a non-corrupted tape, the actual evidence that was played in court. If she had had that tape, then she could have noticed that the dog was prompted onto the car door. And that certainly... is a big difference. That certainly does change and skew the way that the evidence was presented.
If that's what the tape shows, then surely someone in the courtroom watching the tape being played during the officer's testimony would have noticed that, right?
Well, that's mere speculation, Judge. I mean, certainly, like I said, if in an adversarial system you're going to be looking for something, right, you're going to see it for the first time when you're up there on actual suppression motion? No, you're not going to see it. You're going to imagine it, and you're going to see the way it's been meant to be played out by the people who are putting on the evidence. So for
a
court to say...
This was a two-day suppression hearing, right?
It's a two-day suppression hearing.
Everybody's got plenty of time to develop the record as the evidence is unfolding.
Right.
Ask for the tape to be replayed.
Right.
There's something there that I didn't see before, Judge. Can we have that played back?
Right.
Lots of opportunities for
that. Lots of opportunities, Judge. But there's nothing like sitting in your own office without the spectacle and somersaults that are going on in the courtroom to sit there and listen to something.
But she said she did view the tape.
She said she
viewed
it.
And Judge Dara credited that. And are you seriously contending that this lawyer was about to go into a two-day suppression hearing and had a copy of the video and didn't bother to watch it? She said she watched it.
Why
in the world would we not believe that?
Well, Judge, you know how lawyers are. They'll say
they watched it.
They'll say that they watched it. Certainly, I'm not saying that Ms. Gates lies. She certainly watched it. But if you watch a corrupted tape and an uncorrupted tape, those are two different tapes. We're saying she didn't watch the right tape, Judge. And then we're saying, and to answer your question, Judge, we're saying that in the circus of the event of the moment, whether it's one day or 2 days, it wasn't 48 hours of watching it. If she had had it at her office, she would have had 48 hours to watch it. But in this case, she had the moments that she had her witnesses that she didn't prepare with the tape. If she had had the uncorrupted tape with 10 witnesses, and you know that there were at least three witnesses that would have had the best opportunity to say, wait a minute, Ms. Gates, did you see that? Did you see that dog? He jumped on to the car door after this sound was made or after this signal was given. And it's a, like I said, it's a subtle signal.
Did you watch the new tape, the real tape?
I did, Judge.
Did you hear any whistles or signals?
I did not see a whistle. I did not hear a whistle.
Didn't see any signals?
I did see a slight jerk of the chain. And I'm sure if I had headphones on and a better tape, then possibly I could have heard something.
Peace.
I'm not saying it's a phantom. I'm not saying it's the phantom prompting, Judge. But I'm saying that certainly, you know, in an adversarial system, you're given evidence by the government.
You're in your rebuttal. That's a
summary. Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Thompson.
May it please the Court, Joe Thompson on behalf of the United States. It's our position that the district court did not err in denying the defendant's motion to withdraw his guilty plea on the grounds of ineffective assistance of counsel. In fact, the dog argument that defense counsel raised here was actually raised during the hearing. I specifically got to point to pages in the government's appendix, pages 18 and 19, pages 63 and 153. In addition, at one point, the judge actually, as Your Honor pointed out, the tape was played during the hearing, and everyone had a chance to view it. And in fact, at one point, the judge actually asked that the tape be played back during the dog's alert to see if that argument that the leash had been jerked or was talked at the time of the alert and that the dog had been prompted. Specifically on page 107 of the government's appendix, the court said, quote, "Would you back that up and freeze that frame for me, please? I would like to see the tautness or lack thereof on the leash as the dog jumps on the window." So, in fact, the district court was very aware of this argument that the dog had been prompted. It was raised during the hearing by defense counsel, and the court found that there was nothing to that argument. In addition, Your Honor, one thing that the defense counsel basically concedes here is that he can't meet the second burden of showing an ineffective assistance to counsel claim, and that is the burden of showing prejudice. But for the attorney's deficient representation, assuming that her representation was deficient, there's a reasonable probability that the outcome of the hearing would have been different. In this case, he can't do that. Counsel himself has admitted that it was a secret command, and that he's not sure what. He didn't see anything on the tape other than the possible jerk of the chain, which, as I explained, the district court also was alerted to, aware of, and didn't find to exist. Counsel argues that there might have been some other secret command, a whistle or some sort of noise, but he can't point to anything in the tape that corroborates that, and thus he can't show that, even again, assuming defense counsel did not view the video at the hearing, which I don't believe is true, and the record doesn't support that there, she would have seen, had she seen a good copy of the video, she would have seen or heard some sort of whistle or prompt. It's just not the case here. Defense counsel can't proffer any facts that he can see from the video or hear from the video to establish that is indeed the case.
Well,
unless the court has any further questions, we would.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Anything further? All right. Thank you, counsel.
Can I save you that rebuttal time? You're not going to use it?
And you were appointed to represent your client. You have the thanks.